We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, October 7th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart, and you are powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. This is our weekly wagering podcast. And even though the title is Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You, I have not been smarter than the Sharps. I've not been smarter than the public. I've not been smarter than anyone, Matt. We have struggled mightily on the NFL side. We are 7-13 right now. And I don't feel like I don't think we've made bad picks. We just have, just hasn't gone our way, really. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, it's not been great. Our show has suffered. Maybe that's why none of our producers showed up today, is because we've been so streaky the last few weeks. But it's hard, man. I don't know. I actually feel really good about the picks this week. It feels like people get hot at different times. And right around now is, I feel like, where I usually hit my stride as a better. I'm great in the futures. I'm good in week one. I suck for the next few weeks and then tend to come back. So hopefully we can sort of reverse things.
I'm pretty good at the start of seasons, which hasn't happened this year, and at the end of seasons. Remember last year, we were on fire.
We were.
All right. Before we get to NFL, let's get to our college as usual. We'll start with the Red River rivalry, Red River shootout, whatever you want to call it, Texas, Oklahoma. It's about a field goal game right now. Favorite is Oklahoma -3, -3.5. Total is 63.5, 63, somewhere around there. And I'm looking at the under in this game, Matt, for a couple reasons. One is, you know, Oklahoma's offense hasn't been quite as the same as it's been in the past, and that's okay. But the reason why is their offensive line. Their offensive line, you know, has graduated so many players to the NFL that they're just not rushing the ball in the same manner they have in the past. And it's put more pressure on Spencer Rattler, who might just not be as good as Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts, right? Just might not be those guys. And I think you look at a Texas defense that is very talented, and they have dudes that can, I think, can make it a little bit difficult for this Oklahoma offensive line. I think that for that side of the ball, they're going to score points. I think they win the game. I would take Oklahoma -3, -3.5, but I think the under, again, for these couple of reasons. Secondly, Texas's offensive line right now is down their left guard. They moved their right tackle to left guard. They moved a backup into right tackle. And they're playing, by the way, an Oklahoma defense that is much better than usual this year. Like they're the side that's carrying this team, right? They've won games this year 23-16, 16-13. Now, last week against K-State, it was 37-31, but K-State scored late to make that more respectable. And so I'm just going with two offensive lines aren't very good, two defenses that should control the line of scrimmage. Texas is good at getting home with pressure. They're good at blitz rate. They're good on third down. I just think the under is the play here, under 63. I think this game is in the 20s. Both teams score in the 20s.
So no side.
No side in this one. Not, no. I would take Oklahoma here, but this game tends to be pretty close. Texas has covered a 7 of the last 8. That one being that they haven't covered was last year, and that game was in 4 overtimes. That's why they didn't cover this game. Same. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it looks like the sharps are jumping all over the under here. Big discrepancy in public and or bets percentage and money percentage, according to our friends at the Action Network. So, that's a nice play. Interesting how far this line has moved. I think, you know, it could be fun to take a Texas money line here. Maybe this is just the professional football player fan in me, but it's like, this is sort of like my opinion about the Cowboys last week here, where it's like, sometimes you just take the better offense who's getting some points or doesn't seem like they're getting enough credit for how good their offense is. Oklahoma's played a bunch of close games. I think it could be fun to take Texas on the money line.
The one concern I have about their offense is, and Bijan Robinson is fantastic. He's their running back. He might be the best runner in all the country. Is I do feel like they're sort of one dimensional. And if Oklahoma puts all their focus into stopping the running game, is like, can they do enough in the passing game to keep up if Oklahoma's offense just plays better, which we saw a little bit last week against Kansas State. So I'm with you there. I think that if you were to maybe make a play on this, Texas money line makes a little bit of sense. They've only won 2 of the last 8 matches, but this is the worst Oklahoma team, which is weird to say they're 5-0, than that they faced maybe the last 8 years.
I can't wait for Bijan Robinson to be an Atlanta Falcon next year, where they again don't address the quarterback or anything else in their team and have like the best wide receiver, tight end, running back combo. It's destined.
That's incredible. All right, let's get to another game in the South. Georgia is at Auburn here. The Deep South's oldest rivalry. And this one feels pretty easy to me. So I write for Fox Sports, and I think the play here is Georgia minus the 15. But if you don't want that, I'm looking at Bo Nix passing yards is under 190, or Auburn's team total is 14.5 under those. Georgia's defense is number one in the country. They've allowed 23 points all season. And it's very easy to say they're going to have a letdown after beating Arkansas. But I'm not sure they viewed Arkansas as like a good team. Like, I'm not sure that this is a letdown for them, right? They beat a ranked team at home, as they should. Now they go on the road to Auburn in a rivalry game. And defenses travel, man. Like they're in record-setting mode. Like, they're trying to be the best defense of all time, right? To allow the least amount of points. They're allowing 102 passing yards per game this season, right? Like, they're trying to set records, and you're playing a Bo Nix-led offense that is a Bo Nix-led offense, right? They're 124th in the country in points per scoring opportunity is Auburn, right? They're 92nd in explosive plays. They're 104 in drives per game. Like, they don't see the ball often, and they don't finish very often. They don't finish drives. So I think anytime you could take an Auburn team total under here, a Bo Nix under passing yards, and even Georgia minus the 15, because I don't think Auburn scores. This game feels 28-7 to me, right? There's a little concern, I think, on Georgia's side with the quarterbacks. They don't have to do very much. And what happens if Auburn's defense plays better than expected and they get to a passing game? I get that. But I feel very comfortable that Auburn will have trouble scoring and moving the ball in this game.
Yeah. Interesting here. It's so much overwhelming. 91% of the money currently on Georgia at 15 or even 15.5. All good points. Georgia's allowed 4.6 points per game this season, Jeff. How insane is that?
That's, dude, they're incredible. And speaking about incredible defenses, the big game of the week, or one of the big games of the week, Penn State at Iowa. If you had to guess the last time, what year is the first Big Ten matchup with top 5 ranked opponents that does not have Ohio State? What season? What year was
without
that?
Without Ohio State, man, who would it even have been? It would have been like, it would have been Michigan, and I honestly, like, who? Maybe Penn State. It has to have been like 10 years ago, maybe.
1997.
Damn. Was that like, who was it? Was that like Northwestern?
It was like Michigan, someone else. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, who do you like in this one?
So Penn State is getting a couple points here. I like Penn State here for a couple reasons. Iowa is number one in the country in forced turnovers. They have 16 yep. forced turnovers, number one in the country in turnover margin. They're number one in the country in average field position. They're second in the country in points per game on defense. They're right behind Georgia, points per drive, adjusted air yards per attempt. They're fourth in the country explosive play rate on defense. Their defense is great. But guess what? Penn State's defense is also good, right? They're fourth in points per drive. They're eighth in adjusted air yards per attempt. They're 10th in explosive play rate. The difference here, Matt, to me is the offenses, right? Iowa's offense is poo. They're not good. Their success rate in offense is 114th. Their explosive play rate is 112th. They're 113th in yards per carry. What happens if they don't force turnovers in this game? What do they do for points? They're not going to score points, right? So you're basically, if you're taking Iowa here, you're wagering them forcing 3 to 4 turnovers again, which is hard to handicap a game in that manner, right? Penn State's offense with Sean Clifford is getting a little bit better, right? Their offensive success rate. So, you know, success rate is defined like first and 10, you get 5 yards, right? Second and 5, you get, I think it's 3 or 4 yards. Third down, obviously, you convert on third down. At 47, right now in the country. They're 36th in plays over 20 yards. I think Penn State's offense is better. They're on the road, I get it, but they've already played there. They already went to Wisconsin. They're not worried about playing at Iowa. So I like Penn State here. I'll take the 2 points, take them to the money line, whatever. I want to give a gripe very quickly. So there's obviously plenty of people who talk about gambling, and plenty of them are great. I don't understand people that turn down points to take the money lines. Like, especially in the NFL, there's people that give out, they're like, yeah, I want this team on the money line. Why don't you take the 3 points? Like, that feels, you turn down points in the NFL out of all places? Matt, it blows my mind, man.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. If it's like 1, 1.5, I could go either way. But 2.5, yeah, I mean, that's about where you get, that's where you start to get a little nervous. I think I got to just say this, man. Iowa absolutely beat the shit out of my Maryland Terrapins last week, and I think they're getting a nice bump out of that. Maryland was definitely coming in a little overrated and just kept coughing the ball up left and right. So I think if like Iowa has a more normal game against just about anyone, they don't look quite as good as last week. So
that's my point about turnovers, dude. Their average field position is like 40.
They just had the ball in plus territory the entire game last week. So I imagine that, you know, that maybe they're a bit overinflated. And you're right, Penn State's just a little more battle tested. They played Wisconsin, you know, they played Auburn already. Like, you know, Iowa has not had quite that much trouble yet on their schedule. So I tend to agree here. It's always tough to take teams on the road in an atmosphere like that, but I think I'm with you.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, let's move to the NFL, which we obviously love to do. We'll come up with 5 wagers, and we'll hopefully do better than 1-4 last week. So let's start with the Thursday night game, Matt.
Inch by inch, Jeff. The Thursday night game, great this week. A crucial game for Seattle, who's hosting the Rams. The Rams are up to 2.5-point favorites on the road. A little surprising, but I don't know. Maybe it's not surprising. What do you think?
This is an interesting game because what would the line have been had the Rams won the game against the Cardinals, you think?
That's a good, probably, I don't think it would be 4? That much higher, do you? 3, maybe? 3.5?
I think it probably would have been 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I think the Rams are a better team.
Yeah.
And like, and all the money's on the Rams. I mean, we kind of stay away from these games, from these, these Thursday night games. If this was 3, I would be on the Seahawks, I feel like. If it's 2.5, I'm on the Rams. Like, I think that point kind of does matter here. But the Rams are better almost everywhere, maybe except quarterback, but their offensive line, like they don't protect it particularly well yet. And it just, watching their games, there's always just a mad scramble for shit to happen. Like I feel more comfortable with the Rams who got embarrassed and want to bounce back now.
Yeah, the trends with Sean McVay off a loss are overwhelmingly indicating like, hey, you should take the Rams here. But I actually, speaking of trends, this is one where I think we might have to like throw out last year and just look at Russell Wilson historically and the Seahawks historically in this spot. Okay, so the first Thursday night football game of Russell Wilson's career was at San Francisco, and he lost it. He's won every other Thursday night game since. He's 9-1. He's 7-1 in the NFC West in those Thursday night games. He's 5-0 at home on Thursday night. This guy, just for whatever reason, he's found success in these shorter weeks. The other thing here, so he has the best Thursday night record in the NFL percentage wise. The other thing that is just always true here is when you have a road favorite against a good quarterback getting this much money on the road, I think you just have to take Seattle, like no matter what. Like it doesn't even matter who the teams are. It's just the right play. And then when you add in this sort of like magical Russell Wilson at home on Thursday night thing, like we sort of wondered if the Seahawks had lost their edge at home last year. That's not going to continue to happen. Like this crowd is going to show up.
Yeah.
The Seattle crowd we're used to is going to make an impact. I actually think everyone's saying like this is kind of a buy high or a sell high spot for the Seahawks, I guess, because they're coming off of kind of a scrubby win against San Francisco. But like they need this game, right? Like the Rams have played a gauntlet of a schedule. Like they can't get up for every single game. Like I get that they're off a loss, but I love Seattle here. Like not because I think they're better, but because of the situation.
Rams have covered four of the last five matchups against Seattle. That doesn't mean they've won them all, obviously, including the playoffs. And the over has hit a bunch in these matchups. So, we stay away from Thursday games, but yeah, I think you can convince me either way. Again, if this was at 3, I think I'd be all over it.
It'd be an automatic.
But at 2.5, it's like it's one of those where they know what they're doing. Because I think all the money would come out in Seattle at +3. Yeah. Let's get to there's an early Sunday game. I don't know how much we're going to spend time talking about
it. Yeah, do we have to talk about it? It's Jets-Falcons. The line's at 3, I think, in the Super Contest, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's Falcons by 3. We're not betting on this, but if you have a feeling, go for it.
No, I have no feeling whatsoever. These teams both suck, and I have no desire to wager any sort of money on this game at all. I would imagine the sharp money is probably on Atlanta in this game, maybe.
It's sort of split. It's a little bit more on the Jets, actually.
Well, Jets got a win. Falcons, who the hell knows what they're doing? They're terrible. They lost to the Washington football team, 34-30. Let's move to the next game. This one's pretty interesting for me.
Very interesting game. This is Carolina hosting the Eagles. What's the Super Contest line? We're just going to go off of that because we're taping a little later.
Three and a half.
Three and a half here. Okay, interesting. What do you think?
So I said I wasn't taking any lines with the favorites at 3.5, but
that lasted
one week. Yeah. So here's my question, Matt. Where are the Eagles better than the Panthers right now? Like, at what position are you? Like, you know what? They're better than the Panthers.
Yeah, with all the injuries, I would have said up front on probably both sides, but they're so banged up already.
Yeah, so Lane Johnson, the right tackle for the Eagles, is, I believe, coming back from a personal issue, but there's no guarantee he plays. Both guards are out for the Eagles for the season. Obviously, Kelsey is still great at center. The left tackle has been out 2 weeks, but he may or may not come back. He practiced this week. We'll see if he plays. Defensive line, they lost Brandon Graham. Their Eagles secondary is still not any good. Their defensive DVOA is 24. They're 28th against the run. The Panthers should get McCaffrey back this weekend. And I just think the Panthers are just a much better team. Since week one, the Eagles have not looked very competitive. I mean, week one, we're like, oh my God, look at the Eagles, right? Yeah. They went into Atlanta. They smashed them. Their offensive defense lines look great. But since they've had injuries, they played close against the Niners. They got blown out by... The Cowboys and Chiefs. The Panthers, yeah, they had a bad game in Dallas, but they played the crappy teams pretty well. Their pressure packages are pretty intense and pretty unique, and I think Jalen Hurts and that offensive line is going to suffer trying to figure out what they're doing. They're just a young offensive line and a young quarterback still. I like the Panthers here. It's a very public play. I get that. There's been at 4 all week, so I'll take 3.5, but... I think Eagles are also 1-7 against the spread their last 8 road games. I like the Panthers here.
Yeah, it's funny. I was leaning towards laying off this, but I think you've convinced me. I mean, the thing with the Panthers is I bet they're over 7.5 wins, which looks promising.
Yes.
But I will say that I do think they're a little bit overrated.
They are.
You mentioned that the schedule, like, I think they're still getting like a lot of credit for some of these early season wins where like they beat the crap out of the Saints, where the Saints were coming off like a big emotional shutout. And everyone thought they were a little bit better than they are. They beat the Jets and Zach Wilson's first start on the road. They barely beat them. They beat the Texans on that short week with Davis Mills. And then they got smoked by Dallas. Like they hung with them for like a half. And then, you know, this like vaunted defense that's full of these like young guys that have a lot of upside. Like, you know, let's give it more than, you know, 3 weeks against Davis Mills to see if they're anything.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, I think your points about the Eagles are right. Like, it just feels like everyone's giving them the benefit of the doubt because like they've put up decent like fantasy numbers or something. Like I don't totally understand like what people see in the Eagles. If McCaffrey is back, the line has not priced him in at all. Like you said it, the line was higher this week. It's actually dropping because I think people do like the Eagles a little bit. And if McCaffrey is back, then he has to add something. Like he's not worth a half a point. He's worth more than that. So I think that we're actually getting a decent price here on the Panthers. If you feel comfortable,
I'm good at 3.5.
Okay. All right. Panthers have only not covered one game this year. So, you know, they've been pretty reliable against the spread. So
they haven't.
They missed Dallas last week, but they've covered every other game. All right, moving on to, man, this one is so fun. This Green Bay at Cincinnati game, we're getting this at 3, -3 for Green Bay on the road. This is a fascinating one. I feel like I could go either way.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, the thing is, we're just not getting the best line for the Bengals right now because this line was, I believe, at 4 to open at 3.5, 4. This is pretty interesting. So the Bengals defense is not half bad.
No, it's not.
They're fifth in DVOA right now. They're doing some good things. They're really good against the run. They're slightly worse against the pass, but not all that bad against the pass. They're doing some really good things. The Packers are without Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, and David Bakhtiari. Plus, Elgton Jenkins, their offensive lineman, might not play as well. I think all the money, right, is going to be on Green Bay in this game, if I have this right. A lot of it's on Green Bay so far. Bengals are at home. I mean, I feel like the play is the Bengals here.
It actually seems like the Bengals got a late push here since we even prepped for this. Right now, they have the money split about 50-50, but about 80% of the bets are on the Packers, which is a huge flag.
Yeah.
I know that's a huge flag. I still think that Green Bay, like, I'm not totally in on Cincinnati yet. Like, the thing that my, like, early hypothesis for what we're going to look back on and be like, that was weird, is like, all of these kind of bad defenses or like seemingly mediocre defenses are kind of off to a really good start. And all these like really vaunted defenses are off to a bad start. Like we haven't seen like, you know, the 49ers or Washington or the Rams like have these like blowout defensive games yet. But we're seeing like Carolina and Cincinnati like start hot. So I personally think the Bengals are a little overinflated here, and I would be happy taking the 3 for Green Bay, who I think is still like a little bit underrated. Like they've proven it. I think that they're a real team. I'm not sure if the Bengals are. It's not like the most difficult home crowd. I mean, no offense to Cincinnati fans, but I do think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers laying 3 against the Bengals, like that's kind of tasty.
I think these injuries though kind of bother me with the Packers, right? I mean, you're without your best corner, without your best pass rusher. I think we can only choose a couple of public plays in a week.
That's true.
And like for me, I like the Panthers better in this spot. So Green Bay will be on the list. They're on the list at -3. We'll put them there. All right, next game.
I will say though quickly that you mentioned the Packers injuries. Joe Mixon's injury is huge. And you know, I watched Samaje Perine in Washington. That is not a guy that's instilling a lot of confidence. If they need to control the ball against this defense, they're going to have some trouble.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the next game. It is Patriots at Texans. Are we spending any time on this game? Are you feeling a side?
Plus nine.
Houston. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, we can't bet on Davis Mills, but I got to say, I do kind of like Houston. I think this is the ultimate sell high on the Patriots. Like they're getting a lot of credit for almost not losing at home last week.
Yeah.
To to Tom Brady in a Bucks game that they, you know, was in the pouring rain and they didn't even look good. Did you guys talk on Monday about the decision to kick on at from 56? Did you guys talk about that?
A little bit. I mean, the numbers were kind of, it depended on who you looked at. I mean, some had the win probability even, some had it, you know, plus three if they went for it. It was a tough decision. I just don't think he trusted Mac Jones in that spot, you know.
But he trusted Nick Folk in the rain. Like to me, that was like one of the strangest in-game coaching decisions I've ever seen. Like, it just made no sense. And by the way, even if he made it, there would have been like a minute left. Like, you know that Brady was going to score. Correct. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't with 4 seconds left. It was so weird to me. Yeah. So I'm out on the Patriots. I think that if this were to somehow get to plus 10 on game day, which it probably will, I would pull the trigger on the Texans, but it's no fun to bet on
them. Patriots defense is good though. That's what I would worry about. Davis Mills not being able to move the ball at all. So I would stay away from
very
this game.
Possible.
All right. Next up, Titans at Jaguars. What do we got here?
Yeah, I guess. So the super contest line on this game, let me see, is 4.5 now, plus 4.5 at home for Jacksonville. Is there a more difficult team to handicap in the NFL right now than the Titans? And then we have this whole Jacksonville situation.
I was gonna be all over Jacksonville for the Urban Meyer stuff this week. Like, I was all over Jacksonville. This is a perfect spot, right? They're starting to play a little bit better. The Titans, I mean, what are the Titans? They're kind of up and down. They're going now back on the road again. But you can't wager on Urban Meyer's team right now. I mean, they've given up, right? They're not giving up. I say the players have it, but they're out on their coach. You can't wager on a team that's out on their coach. This is going to be one of my favorite plays this week, but I can't make the play right now because of that. And Tennessee, obviously, I'm staying away from them because who knows what they are. They should not be laying points on the road like this. But I think that tells you, again, Sunday, when we looked at the lines looking to this week, this is one of my favorite ones, but I can't wager on it now because of the Urban Meyer situation. And again, to be fair, to talk about this real quick, the Urban Meyer situation has nothing to do with him getting a lap dance by a random chick. That's what him and his wife have to deal with. It's the fact that he didn't go back with the team to start preparing for the next week. Even if he wasn't going to prepare, but just the idea of coming back, like, dude, everyone else came back, everyone else is getting ready to play, and you're out in a bar with someone you shouldn't be with. Like that. So I think that's why everyone's upset. Nothing to do with, we're not judging him based off of what he did with that cow. We're judging him based off of his decisions as a football coach, how it affects his team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a very fair summary. I think you could be much more much more fiery about it if you chose to. I think that I'm with you. It looks so. AJ Brown has practiced this week. Julio Jones has not. Like, by the way, this is what everyone said would happen with Julio Jones. Like, he made it through week three. He had one great game. Like, congratulations. I was with you, man. Like, and by the way, like, doesn't it sometimes like not matter? Like, this could be a game where Jacksonville's just like, can we just like get off the schneid here? Like, Trevor Lawrence is playing a lot better. That offense like is fun and good, and Tennessee sucks. Like, this is possible Jacksonville wins.
I guess, but I just don't feel comfortable wagering on a team that doesn't believe in their coach.
Yeah, you can't like spend actual money betting on this. Like, in theory, on a show, I could make the argument, but like, you can't actually do it.
Yeah.
But you can't bet on Tennessee either, by the way. Like, you cannot take them. Bill Bardwell wrote a thing this week, maybe today, that was about Derrick Henry's usage and how at this point in the season, it's so much higher than previous seasons, which we already thought was like too much. This team is in trouble. Like, if they can't figure out the sort of balance of how to use Henry and then what to do with these wide receivers and how they can function if and when Julio is down, which is going to keep happening, like, Tennessee could be in real trouble.
I'm with you.
Well, we'll see. Next up, speaking of teams in real trouble, the Pittsburgh Steelers are hosting Denver. This line's moved throughout the week. Let's say it's minus one for Pittsburgh. What's the latest with Teddy? Do we know yet?
We don't know what Teddy's status is. We don't know what Ben's status is. Like, this is a complete no wager game. You cannot wager on this game until you know more about the quarterbacks. If both quarterbacks were playing, I actually might lean a little Pittsburgh here, but the quarterbacks are on who. I'm not betting on Drew Lock and Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins. Like, we don't even know. Well, the Big Ben says he's going to play, but he has a hip injury that affects his accuracy, Matt. no, I'm out on this. 100% out on this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to try too hard to convince you. I would take Pittsburgh, probably no matter who is playing. They're just too good. They're just too good, man. Like, they're just too good of an organization to, like, lose another game against a team like this.
All the public money's on Pittsburgh, too. Ugh, gross.
Public is 2/3 of the money, or the bets are on Pittsburgh, but almost 80% of the bets are on Pittsburgh, so the sharps are on the same side.
Yeah.
I think everyone's just kind of waiting. And if Teddy plays, then, you know, it's a little bit harder of a call. And I bet Denver becomes the favorite, actually.
Yeah.
But for now, they're sort of in limbo. So I do think Pittsburgh bounces back. Like, they've played terribly. Ben's been awful. Their offensive line is bad. But, like, their defense is going to turn it around at some point, and they will be a team that matters this season. It's just a matter of when they get it together.
Yeah.
So much respect for them.
All right, next game. I think we might have a winner in next game. We'll see.
Oh, interesting. All right. It's the Saints at my Washington football team. The Washington football team is getting 2.5, I believe, in the Super Contest.
Yeah, they are.
So what do you think?
It's got to be Washington, right?
Yeah,
All the money is on New Orleans this week. They think they're going to bounce back, but are they good on offense? Like, I know Washington's defense has been criticized. But Pro Football Focus, right? This grades all the plays and whatnot. They have Washington's pass rush as second in all of football right now.
Do they really?
So like, and I've talked to my guys Brandon Thorne and Duke Manyweather about this, who studied. They're like, Washington's defensive line is close. They're like really close. Now, I'm not sure this is the weekend against the Saints offensive line where they kind of get home. But now their coverage sucks. But the Saints don't really have a passing game, right? Like, their passing game is Alvin Kamara and trying to find a little bit, you know, a little things here and there. So to me, I like Washington this spot. I mean, Taylor Heinicke is getting it done enough. They're home, getting 2.5 points. Again, all the money is on New Orleans in this spot. I don't know if Washington should demands our respect in this spot, but I think it's a good situational play for us.
Yeah, the other thing about Washington is they're home for the Saints this week. They host Kansas City next week. Then they're at Green Bay and at Denver, and then they play the Bucs after a bye. So, like, this is the one where they're like, if it's coming together, it's coming together now. So I do like them in this spot. The thing that is worrisome, though, is, like, they are one of these teams that got insanely banged up right away. Like, they have tons of guys that are out. Logan Thomas, the big one, obviously. They're, you know, riding with the backup quarterback. Sheriff's out. I just think they have to win this game, and getting the 2.5 against Jameis Winston with that defense at home, like, you got to take them.
I'm with you. Let's go Washington here. 2.5 at home. Okay.
All right. We have 2 for sure. Lions at Vikings. The Vikings are laying 9 is the latest, 9.5 in the Super Contest.
Oh, 9.5 is a bad number.
Yeah. God, what to do with this one?
So I actually like the Vikings in this one. I thought I liked the Lions originally, but our friend Chris Raybon had some interesting stuff. Zimmer is 68% against the spread off a loss, including 4-0 against the spread as a favorite and more than 7 points. Mm. Detroit is now missing their center, who's their best offensive lineman.
Wow.
Their best pass rusher. And they look continually worse as each game goes by, right? Like, I've told you, they're a good, bad team. Now they just seem like a really bad team. And the Vikings are home. They're desperate to get another victory. Obviously, did not play well last weekend. I'm inclined to, even at 9.5, to take the Vikings here. Like, I mean, I guess there's a backdoor cover possibility here for the Lions. But I don't know how this game stays close if Minnesota plays well. The problem is we don't know if Minnesota's always going to play well. But 9.5 is a shit number, considering that you get this number at 8.5. I don't know if you could still get it 8 in some places. Even 9,
I don't
like it. 8.5,
I don't
9.
Like it, Jeff. The Minnesota's not covering games. The Lions are frisky. The Vikings could be in, like, meltdown quit mode faster than we think. I don't trust them, dude. I think we can find better games than this.
Okay. All right.
I agree with you, but, like, I don't know. The 10 points for the Vikings, they stink, man.
I'm good with it. We could pass.
We'll find some more. I think there's more out there. Next up, the last 1 o'clock game is Tom Brady's Buccaneers hosting the Dolphins. 10 is the line that we are going to work with. Right? 10 is the line we're going to work with.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Oh, man. So the Dolphins are broken. Like, they have no offensive identity.
Yep.
They're not playing well in offense. And they get a defensive line that's going to dominate this game. Like, unless something weird happens, like unless something happens that we just don't see, like unless the Miami's offensive line just somehow transforms into something that they haven't been in a long time, but they're gonna dominate this game. And Miami's defense has not been as good as we've seen in the past. The special teams are not as good as they've been last season, right? They won a lot of games last year. Special teams and defense. Special teams are now 23rd in DVOA, right? They've won a lot of games that way. Gronk is out, obviously. I mean, if I had to put money on this game, and maybe I don't know what side you like here, I'd take the Bucs minus the 10.
I just think that this is not one that, I mean, I don't want to take the Dolphins, but that would be the side if I had to make a pick that I would pick the Dolphins, because they have looked despondent. They have too good of a coaching staff for them to just be a complete and utter shit show for much longer, I think. The other thing is, Tampa coming off of that emotional win. This is not like a must win game for them. This is just a like, let's get right. They have so many injuries in their secondary. Like, they have a lot to sort of like get better at. I could see them having one of those games where they're like, yeah, let's just like beat the crap out of this team to feel good. But I could also see it if it's like, hey, can we just like give Ronald Jones the ball a bunch and just grind this out and win? Like, I could see that. And Miami, like, they need to get it together. Like, they need to do it pretty soon. They've had a couple weeks now of terrible performances.
So yeah,
but they've had they've had like a reasonably difficult schedule to deal with. So I don't know. I like the plus 10, but not enough to try to convince you.
Yeah. All right. Let's move it along.
Yeah. This is tough. There's a lot of games like that. The great game at 4:05. The Browns are at the Chargers. The Chargers are a short home favorite of 1.5. What do you think?
I really like the Browns in this spot. You have the Chargers off a short week, a big emotional win on Monday. But here's a couple of matchups I like. The Chargers cannot stop the run. They're very bad against the run. What do the Browns do, right? Run the ball, all right? The Chargers' left tackle's good, Rashawn Slater. The right tackle's bad. And the Browns have an excellent pass rush. I think they're going to make life hell for Justin Herbert. And we know Justin plays well under pressure. I get that. But that pressure over a game leads to mistakes, leads to interceptions, leads to issues. Now, Baker Mayfield's not playing that great right now. But I think with the run game, the play action pass, we saw the Raiders hit a couple of those, charge off a big emotional win. I will go with the Browns here getting 1.5 on the road.
Yeah, the Browns defense has been great this season. I still think they are one of the best teams in the league. They have played kind of a soft schedule, but they're winning. And, you know, I think the Chargers have been a tiny bit of smoke and mirrors. Like, they've been hitting all these fourth downs. Like, you know, they've been super aggressive. I get that, you know, logically you probably should be taking the short home favorite with a good quarterback. But I just really like Cleveland, and I think that they're, I don't know. I think this is a little bit of a trap. Like, I think that Vegas is basically just saying, like, sure, take the Chargers. Go ahead. Yeah. Like, I think this could be the one where Cleveland's like, oh, shit, Cleveland.
I'm with you. I'm 100% agreement.
Let's do it. All right, man. I think we have three, unless we
have three, and there's two I really like left. So we're on the right pack. We're on the right track.
All right, let's talk about Justin Fields and the Bears going to the Raiders. Raiders are laying 5. Matt Nagy announced finally that Justin Fields is the quarterback in like the weirdest turn of events of all time. But that's not enough. All of the money is on the Raiders in this one. Is that where you are as well?
I'm not anywhere in this game. I mean, I think I would take the Raiders. I think they're going to bounce back again. Fields in his first start. Now we saw the offense. Who's calling the plays, right? Is it Matt Nagy? Is it Bill Lazor? He's now officially the starter, right? So the Bears, the Raiders can prepare now, whatnot. Raiders, again, short week, but off a kind of a bad loss. I don't think the Raiders are that bad. I just would stay away from this game. I don't feel great about it. I don't have a great feel either way. I would take the Raiders, but I'm passing this one. The Bears, by the way, are 2-8 against the points, the last 8 on the road. It's not like the Raiders are great either. They're 3-7 at home against the line since last year. A lot of over. It feels like the over could be in play as well here.
Yeah, pass is the verdict here. Let's save some time. It's 5.5 in the Super Contest. Moving on to your former team, the New York Giants. They are 7-point dogs at Dallas in a very fun game. That game is going to be a blast.
Yeah. Giants are the play here, right? Getting 7 points. They've covered 11 of 12 on the road. Daniel Jones has played well against the Cowboys in the past. And by the way, he's playing well overall. He might have had his best month of the season so far that we've seen in his career. They're 12th in offensive DVOA. Now, defensively, they're kind of a wreck. They're 27th. And I really love the Cowboys' offense. I'm in love with their offense. And their defense has played much better. So, the Cowboys are a better team. But the Giants have played much better on the road than they have at home. And this is like another spot. 7 points, a divisional game against a quarterback and a running back. Barkley, who's kind of back healthy now, who's playing well. And the Cowboys don't get a lot of pressure up front without Lawrence in the lineup. The full touchdown here. Give me the Giants. I think a bunch of the money, too, is going to be in the Cowboys, I'd imagine, right? I mean, all the money's in the Cowboys. So I like the Giants in this spot. Over a touchdown.
Me too.
Or at a touchdown, I should say.
All the money on Dallas, but the line still moved down. This was 7.5 a lot of the week and tucks back under to 7.
Yeah.
The Giants actually have a winning record in Dallas in that stadium since it opened, which is stunning. The thing about Dallas to consider, undefeated against the spread this year, right? That's rare in general because usually Vegas is going to get it about right half of the time. It's extremely rare when it's Dallas, which is the most public team in sports.
Correct.
And they're so poorly coached that usually that means that they don't play up to their expectations quite a bit. So in addition to the Daniel Jones road quirk in his spread record, everything says take the Giants, but whenever we bet on the Giants, we lose. So everyone listening should probably take Dallas, but I am 100% taking the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants here too. So we have our fourth one here as we're moving along, and let's get to the next game here.
I know what our fifth is going to be. It's not going to be this.
You already know because it's mind blowing to me that this line. So do you want to let's talk about this game very quickly, but you can.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other AFC West game. It's the Niners at the Cardinals. It's NFC West, obviously. The Cardinals laying 5.5 in Trey Lance's first start.
Yeah.
That's official, right? Jimmy G is officially out.
Oh, no.
Actually,
not yet. No, not officially
that's
out.
Right.
He's not out.
The undefeated Cardinals, man. Do you like them laying the 5.5?
I do not, but I don't like the Niners either. So, the Cardinals are so hot right now, right? So publicly hot. That was Cliff Kingsbury's first major win in 9 years of coaching. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's his first win. The Niners are desperate for a victory. They're a veteran team. They're a prideful team. I would take the Niners here, but without knowing the quarterback situation, I can't really do it. I would not take the Cardinals in the spot.
I think I would, if I had to, just like in a pick and pull, take the Cardinals with Lance if I knew Lance was in. I just think he has such a learning curve against, J.J. Watt. But it's not one I'm putting in the picks. Yeah. But this is Sunday Night Football, Bills Chiefs.
The Chiefs minus 2.5. Of course they can't take Kansas City here. What is going on? And the best part about this too is it's now Thursday. We typically record Wednesday, but we're doing Thursday. And early in the week, all the money was on Buffalo. I'm like, oh, what are we doing? Guys, okay, the Chiefs offense right now is the best in the NFL by far. Listen to this. They have the least amount of drives in the NFL. Least amount, right? And we'll get to that in a second. They lead the league in scoring percentage, net yards per drive, points per drive, despite being second in the league in turnover percentage. That's what they're doing. They're turning the ball over, right? And last weekend, they didn't turn the ball over. Well, they did, I think, once, right? And they were unstoppable in this game. Guys, Buffalo's defense is historically good, right? DVOA, they're third best ever after four games. Who have they played? They played Davis Mills. They played Jacoby Brissett. They played Big Ben and Taylor Heineke. They get
Taylor
the
Heineke,
Chiefs
by
now.
Far the best.
Yes, by far. They get the Chiefs now. Who finally covered a game for once. And I get it. Everyone's off of them because they didn't cover. And their defense is bad. Their defense is terrible. I get it. Their defense is bad. But Josh Allen, guys, it's 31st in the pocket throws. I could find the exact number. I think he's like 31st in clean pocket ranking or something like that, according to Pro Football Focus. Like, it's just, the offense is not as good in Buffalo as it's been in the past. They're playing terrible teams. It's the good first team they played that has a pulse all season. Yep. The Chiefs have played the Ravens, the Chargers. They played tough teams already. So the Browns, like, they're seasoned. They know how to play in a game like this. It's the first time all year Buffalo's playing any opponent that's just remotely good. I love the Chiefs here. 2.5, sign me up. Under a field goal, give it to me.
At home, prime time. Like, cosign everything you said. I'll save the listeners some time. I will just say this. This is the last time you will get the Chiefs underpriced the rest of the season. They're going to win this game, maybe by a lot, and then it will just be like it was the last season and a half, where you can't ever bet on the Chiefs because they can't cover the number that's 2 points too high. Now's the chance. Buffalo is the Chiefs now.
Yeah.
Go forth. Bet the Chiefs, even if you lose it. Like, think it's the right play.
The Bills offensive DVOA is 17 right now. 17. They're one in defense because they played terrible offenses. This is not that terrible offense. The Chiefs offensive line right now is killing it. They have five new guys, right? Yep. Josh Gordon activated. Get him play this weekend. I don't know what they're going to have for him.
That's first
play
tasty.
First play of the game might be Josh Gordon, run as fast as you can, and we're going to throw it to you. Like, Andy Reid's going to find a way to get Josh Gordon in this game. I am 1,000% of the Chiefs here. I cannot believe that this number is where it's at.
Yep, love it. Lock it in. All right, well, let's talk about the Monday night game quickly. It's Colts at Ravens. It's up to 7 now, which
I'm on the fade Wentz wagon, but not this weekend. I don't like this.
Yeah, so there's too many other games we like. Is there any chance we would put Seattle in tonight over? Can you go over the 5 that we have?
Yeah, so we have Carolina -3.5. Washington +2.5, Browns +1.5, Giants +7, and Chiefs -2.5.
I would say we should have the conversation if we wanted to put Seattle in over Carolina. But I don't like that to you.
The problem with that is that people might not listen to this podcast till Friday. It's like already like shit. They're already 0-1 for the week.
I don't know, man. I like the play. I just think that Russell Wilson is a home dog on Thursday night. It's just like automatic. Like, you just have to take that.
Well, maybe
give out 6 this week.
We can give out. Matt is officially giving out Seattle +2.5.
Seattle. The show is giving out Carolina.
The show is giving out Carolina just for this reason. McVay, by the way, 8-2 gets a spread off a road loss. On the road off a loss, by the way, covering by at least 10 points.
Yeah. How many times has he been a road favorite against Russell Wilson, though? Yeah. Probably not that many.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. That's our 5. Love the Chiefs, man.
Love the Chiefs. All in on the Chiefs. Pushing the chips in, man. I'm in.
All right, guys. As usual, we are powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. This is Jeff Schwartz, Smarter Than You. Please rate, review, subscribe. Really enjoy our interactions. Obviously, we need to get better at gambling. We will do that. Just stick with us. We're not this bad, I promise you. If it's your first time listening, we'll get it right. I like our picks this week. Talk to you guys on Monday.